to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Industrial activity has significantly reduced the amount of forest cover around the globe. About one quarter of the world's boreal forest now exists in Canada, a fact that makes it all the more important that we take extreme care to protect what we have. In the last year, a group of 11 companies, conservation organizations, and Aboriginal communities have come together to form the Canadian Boreal Initiative. Through their proactive leadership, they hope to bring science and politics together to help us develop a national vision and framework for how we can operate sustainably to maintain what's left of our boreal forest. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. While oil sands and forestry development may bring prosperity to Alberta's north, they're putting a tremendous amount of pressure on the boreal ecosystem. While some progress is being made to lighten the industrial footprint on the landscape, it's still not enough. Recently, the Alberta Chamber of Resources hosted a members' forum on the boreal forest and some innovative efforts to maintain its biodiversity. Kicking off the day was Kathy Wilkinson. Kathy is based in Ottawa, where she is director of the Canadian Boreal Initiative.
Well, the initiative is a new project that was started about a year ago, and the focus of the initiative is to really convene different interests with a role to play in implementing conservation solutions on the ground in the boreal forest, and also to catalyze actions towards a national vision for a healthy boreal region for all time.
Well, you've got a pretty high-level group of companies and organizations that are behind you. Where did this whole idea come from, and how did it bring together all of these different people?
I think the Canadian Boreal Initiative really stemmed from a recognition that we have a unique global opportunity in the boreal, because so much of it is intact at a national level, that we have a really unique opportunity to plan in such a way that we can have both protection of key ecological and cultural values at the same time as we can have sustainable development and best management practices on the landscape. And there was equally a recognition that there are many different sectors and players that have a role to play in both developing those solutions and implementing them on the ground. So our role was really to convene these different interests, starting outside of government, starting with companies and conservation groups and First Nations, to see if there was, amongst that small group, a common vision that could then form the basis of some activities. And we're very pleased with the results. We have a small group of leaders as a starting point. We have 11 resource companies, First Nations, and conservation groups. But these are each of whom are really demonstrating some key leadership on the ground in the boreal, and I think really demonstrating some success stories in how we can advance conservation in the region.
Who are these people?
They include several Alberta-based companies, both Alberta Pacific, who obviously has a huge role to play in boreal conservation in Alberta, as well as Suncor Energy, so some key players in Alberta. Ducks Unlimited is a key partner of ours, as well as the World Wildlife Fund and the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society, and then key First Nations such as the Dey Tcho in the Northwest Territories, the Innu Nation in Labrador, and Poplar River in Manitoba.
Now, you've mentioned that this is a unique opportunity globally, and I really have to say I was quite surprised when I looked at the two maps that you showed during your talk of how much forest we had before and how little we have now worldwide. Could you elaborate on that a bit more?
Absolutely. Well, part of the recognition of the boreal as such an important opportunity for conservation stemmed from the realization that so much had been lost, and that in fact Canada has 25% of the world's remaining intact forests, and that's an astonishing number. You know, when we just think about the world as a whole and the ecological values that the boreal holds. So I think that's partly why we're so anxious to bring people together and really move forward. Is this unique opportunity? I mean, if you think about what it would have been like 20 or 30 years ago to try and develop conservation solutions for the Amazon, for example, we'd have a whole host of ecological riches worldwide that we don't now have. So I think that there's a really powerful argument for being proactive in trying to advance conservation in the boreal.
Conservation is a big thing, and there's so many different groups from one extreme to the other that are involved in it. What is it that makes your initiative different or innovative or better?
Well, our focus is really on a couple of key issue areas. One is in convening some of the different sectors, so not just one sector or another, but trying to bring different people together, because I think that one of the things we realize is the Boreal is so big and it's so different. You know, the challenges in Alberta are so different from what they are in Labrador or the Northwest Territories, that there's a key role to play in just bringing people together to really talk about solutions at a national level. So that's one of the roles we can play that is different. I think we can also support and track progress at a national level, because we do have a national and exclusive focus on the future of this region as a whole.
Some of the questions that came up from the audience today dealt with regulations and the fact that there are so many different jurisdictional responsibilities, and you've mentioned that it's different in Alberta than it is in Labrador. How do you fit a national objective or framework then into very different regions with very different regulations?
I think the best way to achieve a national vision that has to be implemented regionally is to set overarching goals and an overarching vision, and then really look for opportunities to tailor your response in different places. So, for example, you know, we recognize that the initiative is not a cookie-cutter approach, that we need to be really sensitive to the fact that both the opportunities and the challenges do differ regionally, and that solutions in an Alberta context are going to look different from solutions in other places. And so part of it also means being very science-based, really understanding what science is telling us in different parts of the Boreal, and also being very committed to engaging with local groups and local processes, local land use planning processes, as the key conduit for making some of these decisions.
Do you have any models in place that people can look to where this sort of effort is going to work?
Well, I think that we can look at the work that the Labrador Innu Nation have done. It's a joint project with the government of Newfoundland and Labrador, and they've done a marvelous job in making sure that their ecological and cultural values are going to be maintained by protecting approximately 50% of a 7 million hectare area, while also planning for new forest activities that are going to generate jobs and economic benefits to those communities. So I think that that's a great example. That's a great model we can look to. And as I say, I think ALPAC's work is going to, as it unfolds over the next couple of years, be an exciting place to look as well.
With the Innu, though, there's been an awful lot of controversy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the challenges and, you know, and opportunities we have to do differently in the Boreal, is so many environmental issues in our country have really have emerged out of conflict. So you have a war in the woods, and then, you know, people are fighting, and then it takes a number of years before people can actually focus on solutions. And part of, I think, our message is that we do have an opportunity to develop solutions jointly first, and it would be great if we could all take that opportunity and try to move forward on that basis.
Why is science so key to this?
Science is really critical because there's a lot we don't yet know about the Boreal. The Boreal is a really unique place. It has enormous ecological values. You know, it's got incredible abundance. Some of the largest caribou herds in the world, and it, you know, it holds, it's the home of billions of songbirds. But there's much we don't know about how it works. It's a, you know, particularly some of its natural processes. So how fire is important to the Boreal, or how insect infestations drive certain ecological processes. We need to understand how the Boreal works if we're really going to conserve it over the long term, and I think that's partly why science is so important to us.
What's next for you?
Well, we're looking to reach out to others, to work with them, to identify projects on the ground that we could support, to really take the next step in terms of outreach with different sectors that maybe haven't been to the table to date, and also working with governments, because we recognize that obviously as the owners of 90% of the Boreal, they have a key role to play in implementing solutions.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you.
That was Kathy Wilkinson, Director of the Canadian Boreal Initiative. And as Kathy pointed out, most of Canada's boreal forest is Crown land, so government support is critical to the success of the Canadian Boreal Initiative. Harry Stelfox is a senior manager dealing with intergovernmental relations and resource policy for Alberta Sustainable Resource Development. As he told the forum audience, bringing consistency to the different programs on biodiversity is an important undertaking.
Well, as you know, we have a number of programs and project activities in various departments of the Alberta government that are focused either directly or indirectly on conservation of biodiversity. Those programs and activities are scattered across a number of departments. And we now see a need to put in place a higher level policy statement with respect to how we want to achieve biodiversity goals and objectives, and to use that higher level policy statement to help to better coordinate and give direction to those what are somewhat independent programs and initiatives across several departments, and to have that higher level strategy informed by what Albertans feel are really important issues to them with respect to biodiversity.
What commitments are there already in place with regard to biodiversity? You happen to mention a number in your talk, one of them actually being that Alberta is the signatory to a Canadian program.
Right. We have indicated our support for the Canadian Biodiversity Strategy, which is Canada's response to the Convention on Biological Diversity, which was signed back in 1992. The Canadian Biodiversity Strategy came out in 1996. And Alberta is part of a coalition of federal, provincial, territorial jurisdictions that are working on joint programs of work to implement the Canadian Biodiversity Strategy, and there's priorities under that strategy that we're actively helping to move forward. We have in Alberta some of our own high-level policy commitments that speak to a limited extent on the need to maintain biodiversity. Alberta's commitment on environmental management and sustainable development is one of those policy documents. And we feel that there's still a bit of a gap between some of those higher-level policy statements and the programs and activities that are occurring related to biodiversity. And we'd like to fill that gap with an Alberta policy that speaks specifically to goals and objectives for the conservation of biodiversity.
One of the initiatives that was spoken to today is the Canadian Boreal Initiative and the framework that's coming out of that. How do you see what Alberta wants to do fitting in with the Canadian Boreal Initiative?
Well, that's a really good question, and we're still in the process of trying to really understand what is in this Boreal Forest Framework document that has been put out by the Canadian Boreal Initiative and has been signed on to by a number of private interests and environmental organizations. I was very encouraged, actually, when I listened to Kathy Wilkinson this morning talk about the process they're using to bring together diverse interests into a constructive and proactive dialogue, and we certainly support that. And in that context, I think it's very important that we see a number of conversations and discussions occurring in society around what is the importance of biodiversity to us here in Alberta, what are the particular aspects of it that contribute to our economic well-being and our social well-being, and that we need to be mindful of in terms of sustaining the Alberta advantage, and particularly the natural dimension of that Alberta advantage. So in the sense of the discussion that's being fostered across various sectors, and I think a fairly healthy, constructive and proactive way by the Canadian Boreal Initiative, we're certainly supportive in that sense. But we do have a lot of questions still with respect to some of the specifics that might be embedded in that initiative, and we're seeking to better understand and perhaps even potentially inform that initiative.
Thank you very much, Harry.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. It's good to see you.
That was Harry Stelfox, Senior Manager of Intergovernmental Relations and Resource Policy for Alberta Sustainable Resource Development. Alberta Pacific Forest Industries is one of the founding members of the Canadian Boreal Initiative. ALPAC's operations cover a 6 million hectare region in northeastern Alberta, and the Athabasca oil sands are right in the heart of the company's FMA. With all the industrial activity on the land base, conservation of biodiversity is a critical issue. Simon Dyer is a forest ecologist with Alberta Pacific. After his presentation at the Alberta Chamber of Resources Forum, I asked him why ALPAC is involved with the Canadian Boreal Initiative.
Well, ALPEC is a signatory of the Boreal Forest Conservation Framework for a number of reasons. Firstly, we think it's pretty compatible with our current management philosophy and our forest management plan. We support the idea of the need for ecological benchmarks and protected areas and good forest management, good sustainable forest management on the lands upon which we operate.
What's the point you were trying to get across to people today?
Well, the point is simply that it makes sense to do this. We're very interested in strategic level planning. We're interested in ensuring we maintain biodiversity on the lands upon which we operate. And another part of the framework that we like is the requirement for community and Aboriginal involvement in forest management. We think these are all valuable things.
Now, ALPEC is working within Alberta, and this is a national initiative. How do you see what ALPEC is doing having some sort of national impact?
Well, the Boreal Framework is a national initiative, and it doesn't really have a jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction target. So the framework under which we operate is going to be different in different environments. In the allocated forest, the focus will be on ecological benchmarks and good forest management practices. In the unallocated portions of the landscape, there's potential for much greater protection of the landscape.
You're a scientist, and certainly science has been brought forward as being one of the key components of making this Boreal Framework work. Why is that? How do you see science being used?
Well, in Canada, we have a unique opportunity to do conservation planning right, and we're still learning a huge amount about the boreal forest. Science can really give us good information about what appropriate protected areas should be, what an appropriate connected benchmark network looks like, and what good practices can occur on a landscape and still conserve biodiversity. Things like support for a biomonitoring program have a huge scientific base. We have to be able to measure how our activities do or do not affect the creatures that live in the landscapes in which we operate.
How do you see the linkage between conservation and also economic development happening?
Well, there's a couple of linkages. I think there's a real land access issue and a market access issue as well. I think public of Alberta and of Canada demand good management and conservation of the lands that we also obtain products from. From a market-based perspective, it makes sense to maintain biodiversity for the economic reason that our customers are asking for it.
Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you.
That was Simon Dyer, a forest ecologist with Alberta Pacific Forest Industries. Another founding member of the Canadian Boreal Initiative is Ducks Unlimited Canada. Biologist Gary Stewart is the regional manager for boreal conservation programs with DU.
Well, I think it's a good place for DU to be, and it shouldn't come as any surprise once people understand that about a third of this forest, this wonderful forest of Canada's, is actually water and wetlands. And we've known for a long time that parts of this forest are extremely important to migratory birds, migratory waterfowl, and other water birds. And we saw a need for us, you know, as Canada's conservation company, to get more actively engaged in conservation in this area to make sure that all those habitats will be preserved forever.
You're here today speaking to a lot of people from industry, whether it's in mining or forestry or oil sands. What point are you going to get across to them?
A couple of points. I think the one I just mentioned is just to shine a light on the other part of the forest, the part of the forest that isn't trees, where all the biodiversity lies. But I think as importantly that we're a proactive, pro-government, pro-Aboriginal, pro-industry conservation company that is driven by science. And we think that in order to advance truly sustainable development, we need to partner with leaders from all of those groups to get good science to make us just do a better job of conservation and sustainable development across the forest.
Well, you mentioned partnerships, and certainly Ducks Unlimited is involved in an awful lot, and all of them looking at what's happening with the boreal. What are some of those other partnerships?
The program that I actively manage goes from the Ontario border to the Alaska border. So north of 60, we have very strong partnerships with governments, with First Nation governments and communities. South of 60, certainly if we look at our big partnership in Alberta, is with Alberta Pacific Forest Industries as the primary partner in a very bold and innovative conservation plan that is watershed-based. And it's totally tied into the Alberta government's new Water for Life strategy. again, we're looking at making sure that water quality and supply is ensured forever.
Thank you very much, Gary.
You're welcome.
That was Gary Stewart, Regional Manager of Boreal Conservation Programs with Ducks Unlimited Canada. The Alberta Chamber of Resources has developed a program called Integrated Resource Management and is working to educate its members about the environmental importance of reducing their industrial footprint on the landscape. The success of integrated landscape management is dependent on using science to develop more environmentally sound industrial practices. To that end, the Alberta Chamber of Resources sponsors ILM research at the University of Alberta, and Dr. Phil Lee is a senior research associate in that program.
My message today is that it's often the cumulative impact of different types of industries on the landscape that actually produce an ecological effect, and that secondarily, that best practices within one industry, while important to relieving its ecological effect, doesn't account for what happens with all those other industries. And thirdly, I like to put out the message that, in fact, when we want to manage for all those different industries, we have to think about planning at a much larger scale and perhaps putting together certain industries and keeping certain industries apart from each other that would provide for or that would create that ecological impact.
So what you're saying is best practices is still not enough?
Best practices, while extremely important, is simply not enough. What we have to think about is placing different users on the landscape together in different combinations, but also having a varying amount of different combinations over the landscape.
Can you give me an example?
One of the examples is when you bring in agriculture in combination with other industrial users, there's a big change that occurs in the landscapes. And I'll give you an example. When oil and gas and well sites and seismic, as an example of a footprint there, are alone, they produce a certain amount of impact, a relatively light impact. But when you put agriculture in there, there's a very different change in the way oil and gas impacts the landscape.
And how might that work in the boreal?
In the boreal, there's surprisingly, not surprisingly maybe for some, a lot of agriculture that does occur. And so what we'd have to do is think about having maybe some areas that would have all three of those types of disturbances and other areas where it's a lighter touch, at least for a while, and then moving another industry in afterwards.
You said this was heretical. Why?
Right now, I don't believe that we actually manage over very large areas for a distribution of different types of disturbances and a combinations of that in a strategic way. It kind of just all happens by what happens in forestry and then separately what happens in oil and gas. We're moving ahead with some planning, but that planning is still very localized. And what I'm talking about is very large-scale regional planning.
How do you see this fitting in with what the Canadian Boreal Initiative wants to do?
I think it does fit in with some of their initiatives, and one of that they want to see a range of activity on the landscape as a broad goal. And I guess this fills in what type of range should we see, what combinations of disturbances should we see, and how we move that range of disturbances through time.
Is there an urgency to this?
I think there is. We have a landscape that is still in many ways relatively undeveloped throughout all of boreal Canada. Alberta's is moving up quickly, I think, on the scale of being developed, but throughout Canada it's still relatively undeveloped. So there's still a lot of options out there for what we can do.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Phil Lee, Senior Research Associate with the Integrated Landscape Management Program at the University of Alberta. Another major undertaking to help us better understand the complex boreal ecosystem and the impact of industrial activity is the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Program. Dr. Jim Sheik is a research ecologist with the Alberta Research Council, and he's the lead scientist developing the monitoring project.
It's a long-term program that was developed cooperatively between industry, government, and some of the non-government organizations, the NGOs, to fill a gap in what we had for monitoring biota. There's a lot of documents and ideas that we needed to, as part of effective management of resources, also be able to manage and monitor biota. But at this stage, we just simply didn't have a program. So the program was developed in the last 5 years, 6 or 7 years now, I guess, to create something where we could effectively manage and monitor biota.
Where are you at now in terms of the development of this and getting it off the ground?
Well, about a year ago, we finished up with the background scientific development. So most of the scientific development was finished approximately a year ago. And at that stage, we moved into a prototype project, which was to roll out the program on a small scale to make sure it would work in the way we thought it was going to work, to make sure that the protocols were effective, and to put in place the data management and the reporting system we needed in the program. So we are 1 year under our belt in this prototype project, the pilot project, if you wish, on rolling out the program.
You're here today at a forum sponsored by the Alberta Chamber of Resources, looking at what's happening in the boreal forest. How does what you're doing fit in with what the Canadian Boreal Initiative is trying to accomplish?
My understanding of the Canadian Boreal Initiative is they're attempting to create a dialogue amongst many different organizations on how to manage the boreal forest effectively, both effectively from a resource use point of view and effectively from an environmental monitoring point of view, an environmental management point of view. The program we're working on, the Biodiversity Monitoring Program, is an integral part of managing the biota. It provides the data, the background one needs to assess whether or not we are being effective in our monitoring. So the biomonitoring program, produces data that allows folks who are doing the management, the organizations that are sitting around the table for the Boreal Initiative, to evaluate rigorously, statistically, whether they're being effective at managing biota. It will be a rather important part of any ecological management system.
Well, that was one of the questions that came up from the audience today, too, is how do you measure? How do you know when you've gotten there?
With the biomonitoring program, as part of this prototype pilot, there's a group of folks, seven or eight people at the University of Alberta, who are addressing exactly that question. So they're looking at when one has effective data on species and habitats and ecosystems, how do you compare that to what you wanted to have in there, to what society desires? So how does one do that sort of a statistical comparison, and what type of benchmarks, what type of reference areas do you need, and how you would control the two types of data from the use area versus the reference area to see whether or not you have what you desire in the system? Sadly, we aren't there yet, but in the next couple of years, this group at the university will have evaluated that, and as part of the pilot then, by the time we're ready to roll out the complete biomonitoring program, we'll be able to answer that question perfectly.
Thank you very much, Jim.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Jim Sheik, a research ecologist with the Alberta Research Council and lead scientist on the Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Program. I also spoke with the other presenters at the Alberta Chamber of Resources Forum on Boreal Biodiversity. They were Dr. Phil Lee, Gary Stewart, Simon Dyer, Harry Stelfox, and Kathy Wilkinson. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during the program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Alberta Research Council, Ducks Unlimited Canada, Alberta Pacific Forest Industries, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, the University of Lethbridge, the Alberta Conservation Association, the Capital Region Innovation Centre, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Ingenuity, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, and the Science Alberta Foundation. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.